Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, Middle Age gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show. Hello everyone, welcome to the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, better late than never. You guys would have missed us if you didn't show up today, but thank you. Today's show was a bit of a turn. We're going to do crowdfunding as we mentioned last week. Unfortunately, due to schedules and real life stuff, there was nothing that piqued Adam's interest when it came to crowdfunding. So today we're back with the news and we have got some really hot button topics ranging from hardware to software to gaming, so please hold on for that. Today's gaming section is going to be a little bit shorter because we do want to spend more time talking about the news, and we started off late and because we all have other things to handle as well, so please bear in mind with us. But taking that into account, let's get started with Antoine and his gaming hotness of the week.
Gaming hotness, let's say that life has been catching up quite a lot this week. So not much going on apart from my time at Sunrock, which I didn't play as usual, just continuing in the commissions, just upgrading my tables, doing more missions. It's still the same as usual. It's the same graphics as Portia, same kind of stories as Portia. So it's very much in the same vibe. And it's not something that you would get bored because it's repetitive. It's very nice. It's very chill. Maybe Crean, maybe you would like it because there's no difficulty like at all.
I played Portia for 50
yes,
hours.
Yes, but somehow I felt sometimes that Portia, you had a little bit of the clock ticking on some commissions. So you have to finish within X days for the story because the commissions are always like this. Commissions is you pick up this position, that's your choice. You pick it up and you have to finish within 3, 5, 9 days, depending on the difficulty of the commission. But for the story-wise, in Portia, I remember that I was sometimes stressed a bit for time. Here in Sandrock, nope. You can take months to do your stuff if you want. Absolutely no consequences. So there's really, literally no challenge in terms of difficulty. The only setting you can change is how fast your day passes. If you think a standard 1 day is too fast, you can put it at 0.5 and expand your day twice as much. If you don't have much to do and you want to do an event which is in 3 months, you can put your time super fast. No, that's how it rolls. So yeah, that's it for me. Nothing like earth-shaking or mind-blowing, but it's always a very nice game, especially when you are as busy as I am these days. Yeah, that's all for me.
How much, because I remember I started off a Portia in Early Access as well, and I think the first version of Early Access, I got to put in about 20 hours or so. And towards when the Early Access was almost finished, I put in another 20 hours, and that was the end of the game. How do you feel about the time, about Early Access? Is it another 20 hours now, and then you're going to have to wait?
I think, and don't quote me on this, but it really feels like the main story has been very much polished. I don't see the end of the main story, and there's, I think, still a lot to do. And I did play 25 hours already, and I still feel that there's quite a lot left. What they didn't polish at all yet is the personal story of the characters. You really feel that there's not as many characters as in Portia, and only a few of the main characters do have a few side story to them. But clearly you see that they still have a lot of work to do over there. Like the basic stuff, I think you could marry, have weddings and stuff. I don't think this is implemented yet. Or if it is, must be on one character out of X, Y, Z. So yeah, I think pretty much, I don't know if they're done, but I think they are well advanced on the main piece of the game. And the side quests are not very well polished yet, I think. But as part of an early access, I didn't encounter any bugs. Maybe because of the fact that they are taking an engine. There's no upgrade in graphics or mechanism or anything. It's the same. The combat system is the same. The graphics are the same. Every asset is, they reworked the assets because this is Western, usually the Western kind of vibe, or like Texas kind of vibe compared to Portia. So, but apart from that, it's very similar game, so maybe that's why they are on something that they know. So maybe there's not much bugs and they don't have to spend time correcting them. But yeah.
Nice. Adam, what about you? You said you've been playing nothing new.
No, not really anything new. I'm still playing Nier Reincarnation and a little bit of .hack GU. Played some Sims over the week. And yeah, we did the stream with No Man's Sky. And of course, Final Fantasy XIV, because they recently released the patch notes. And so yeah, they started the event to get ready for the next patch. So
I'm sorry, are you playing No Man's Sky together?
Yeah, we played No Man's Sky on Saturday night, our Saturday night. That would have been your Saturday morning.
Because I saw the stream, but I thought it was a Krien retaking his old save, so it's a brand new game?
No, yeah, kind we of. Started over. Yeah, yeah, but there was a bit of complication there. So No Man's Sky, the way it works is we started a new save, and so we started together. And then when we tried to reload the save, so Krien reloaded the save, I loaded back in, but it wouldn't let me load back in. And so what I had to do is I had to start over, but he was where we had left off last time. So this was very strange to me because the save said something like, oh, you have to play this in first. You have to play this in single player in order to load this save, which didn't make a lot of sense. So what happens is if you start a new game with a friend, then after you guys stop playing, the person who is not hosting needs to load up that save in single player, play around a little bit until it creates a new save, and then the next time you play, you need to load from there.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, it's a really weird system. So what it does is, the idea is that when you jump into your friend's game, you can choose which save you want to be jumping in from. So if you have a game where you've progressed much further, but your friend hasn't progressed very far, you can use a save that doesn't have as much progress on it. Or if you have maybe a specific ship on one of your saves that you want to give to your friend, you can load the save that has that ship. So you can choose basically which of your saves, which of your character's situations, which one of those you want to load into your friend's game when you play with them. But for some reason, if you play together, it doesn't save it in a way that it can be uploaded. It's a weird system. So you have to basically go back to single player, load it in, jump in your ship, jump out, and then you can load that one next time. So it
sounds like a Sniper Elite 5 multiplayer was much easier.
Oh, way easier.
I think because we also we have to mention as well, this is also cross-platform again. Adam's on the PlayStation, I'm on a PC, different OSs and systems. I think for Sniper Elite 5, they stored everything on the cloud, whereas for No Man's Sky, it's stored locally on my machine. And of course, PlayStation can access Steam Cloud and vice versa. So there are issues right there.
Yeah.
So same condition as Sniper Elite 5, right?
Different, because
different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because it's Sniper Elite 5, they stored it on Sniper Elite 5 servers.
Yes.
Whereas my save is stored on my end. It's not stored on
All right. Fair enough. And
because when we were playing Sniper Elite 5, I was hosting, and it would definitely save those locally for me as well. So I don't know. But yeah. But I think the difference is in Sniper Elite 5, when Krien loads in, it loads in his loadout. Whatever loadout he currently has, it loads that in.
Oh, no. They've always loaded out the same loadout for me every time. That's why I never had it.
You never changed your loadout? Or
no, never.
Even if,
I did try before, but I gave up.
Oh, okay.
Because it was always the same. And it was because you and I, we never played the whole thing together. We played 5 missions.
So you didn't unlock too much stuff.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, basically that's what it's doing, is basically it's saying you have to create a loadout in single player. And once you've created a loadout in single player, you can load that in when you join somebody else's game. So it's complicated, and far more complicated than it should be. But once you understand why, it makes sense. But yeah, it seems like a really strange...
I still have a worry that it's not going to work this weekend. So
it'll work this weekend. I think it'll work this weekend.
Then we're going to be switching to
multiplayer. It's much easier. Yeah. It works very well.
Oh, because then Adam will be on a PC. Yes, so there will be. Yeah. Yep. For me, running up the games today, still Hades. I really wanted to play a lot yesterday, but just too busy. I've now died 34 times and I've been killed by my father, Hades, the last 3 times, because I guess the final battle is where you try to kill your father, which is very interesting. But yep, that bastard father has killed me 3 times. You're never getting out of hell or Hades. But it's now, I've gotten to the stage where it's very easy to kill the first boss. It's very easy to kill the second boss. And I just make it to Hades all the time because Hades has two life bars and he has a whole bunch of like different phases that you have to adjust through that. It's becoming a pain, but it's cool. Like each time you die, you get a little bit more of the story. You get a little bit more choices. And I just figured out something almost towards the end of the game that for your skills, each set of skills has an alternate skill that I only found out 15 hours later that I could have been working on or using later. I'm like, oh, press A and you get to activate the alternate skill and you can level up that alternate skill. Oh, gosh. That would have been so useful. But no.
Yeah, didn't you?
Yeah. See, this is what happens when if you were Adam or Antoine, more detail-oriented, more patient people, you would have figured that stuff out. But not like me. Yeah, I'm just like, kill, kill, kill.
It was probably in the tutorial.
It could have been. I'm just glazed over. I just, yes, Adam's right. Probably in the tutorial, but I missed it. God damn it. But yeah, still super fun. I think afterwards I might actually, because usually my addictive personality is like, yep, find another game like this. So I might just buy Dead Cells and play that. So, because that's another famous sort of roguelite, I guess is what I was looking up the explanation for. But yes, this is the end of gaming for us. We're a little bit over the 1 minute I had planned or 12 minutes. So today we've got news stories, things that we're all very passionate about or somewhat passionate about or stories that we chose in the last minutes. You guys will find out. But as usual, we're starting with Adam today first. Adam, what is your first story?
Okay, so my first one is that this is going to be a bit controversial, but whatever. So as we've talked about before, violence in video games does not lead to real world violence. And if you have somebody who already has a violent personality, it can maybe bring out some of that. People who have anger issues obviously can get really riled up by games and things like that. But it doesn't cause a non-violent person to become violent. Now, scientists have done studies on sexualization in video games and have found that in a similar manner, video games have no impact on misogyny or body was it dysmorphia, any issues like that. It's been a thing for a while where people were talking about there were some things in Gamergate about it, about how when all the sexualization of characters in video games and things like that. Some scientists did some studies and they found that they were studying with boys and girls, and they found that there were no lasting differences in the way they perceived men or women before playing video games versus after long term. So there was no real need for a moral panic. Things like censorship don't help the situation. They don't hurt the situation either, obviously. But yeah, it's basically just saying that it has people can tell the difference between what a real human being looks like or acts like, or you know, how physics affects them, and what a video game character is like. So yeah, it doesn't, there's no real world correlation between what people do in video games or how they act or what they see or play and how they interact with the real world once they turn the systems off and walk outside.
Yeah, I find that really sad, really, that we really have the need to have these kind of survey on video games specifically. Why? Is it this, you have cinema for 100 years and excuse me, but sexualization in cinema is big. Books as well, you're just using your imagination as well. So, but you have to say it in specifically for video games, it doesn't affect you.
I think the idea is because obviously there's been sexualization in art for centuries, if not millennia. But I think the idea is, A, it's a new thing. And people are, I'm sure when movies started coming out, people were freaking out over it. I know people were freaking out when Harlequin romance novels first started coming out. You're like, oh, this is horrible stuff. But I think the idea with video games, people think, okay, you're interacting with this world. And you are, because you're interacting with it and the world is interacting back with you, it's going to warp your sense of reality. And it's going to, and because of that, it's more dangerous than, say, looking at a painting or looking at a picture or even looking at a movie, because in a movie, the movie doesn't interact back with you. So, like, for example, for maybe a very small child, when they learn language, if you put a kid in front of a TV, they're not going to learn language. If you have to talk to the kid, because they need to have that back and forth. They need to see that there's a correlation between what sounds they make, and then they get a certain reaction. If they make a certain sound, mom feeds me. If I make a certain sound, dad changes my diaper. With a movie, you make sounds, the movie doesn't change at all. So there's no, and they and the people making sounds on the screen, it doesn't matter what sounds they make, because if you interact with them back, they're not going to do anything. Whereas video games are a lot more interactive. So I think on a psychological level, it makes sense that people might say this is a little more easily going to warp people's perceptions because it does interact back with you. But it turns out that the human brain is a bit smarter than we gave it credit for, and it can differentiate between what is a video game where you have limited interactions and what is real life. But at the same time, look at comic books, right? Superman flies, and we've all heard stories about kids that have tried to jump off a building because they thought that they could fly and end up hurting themselves or getting killed or something like that. So there are real world relations with this, and it can happen. But I think the point of the research is that it's not a significant, it doesn't have a significant effect on the population as a whole. Most people don't think that they can jump off a building and fly. There are going to be some people that might try it, particularly young people who don't understand the difference. But even those young people, when they're younger, maybe they don't understand. But as they grow up, they start to understand, yeah, that was silly. Why would I ever think that? And it's the same thing here with video games, where maybe for a young person, they might have certain perceptions. But as they get older, their brains tell them this isn't reality. This is just a game. And so in that sense, there's no long-term effects on the way people perceive themselves or perceive others.
Okay. I wanted to say, yeah, but people have been doing like Dungeon and Dragon, like role-playing and stuff like this since the 70s and the 80s. But that's true that it's not 8 or 10 years old kids playing this kind of game. Okay, maybe. Maybe your study was interesting in that sense.
And if you have, say, a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old playing Mortal Kombat and they see people punching each other and they think it's fun, you might have a 3 or 4-year-old punch another 3 or 4-year-old because they think, oh, it's going to, they don't have that concept of this is going to hurt if I actually do it. You might want to be very careful with very young children, but with an older kid playing Mortal Kombat, they know if I punch somebody in the chest and rip their heart out, that's probably not a good idea, and I'm probably not going to enjoy that either. It's a fun idea, but yeah, the reality of it is not going to be fun.
Call me conservative, but I don't know, like a Chucky to a 3-year-old kid. That's the like same kind of stuff. If you have, usually these kind of kids have parents. I really hope it for them. And if parents are responsible, they don't let them play Mortal Kombat at less than at least 10. Right. 10 and over, okay. But under that, come on, that's kind of gory.
Yeah. And I think that's the heart of the issue here, too, is it's not the video games' fault. It's all about parenting and being responsible parents. So
That's the same. That's why you won't let your kids watch a Squid Game or I'm Watching the Boys. It's written not for 18 years old and over. There's a reason for it. Maybe follow the indication on the box.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know what you guys think about this, but I think the idea of sexualization, oh God, I've had this speaking problem since yesterday, but I think it's not so much like individual things. It's like a general perception of the role of women in games and media and stuff, which is what is needed to change for a long time, is that no matter if your child's being exposed, your child is saying, okay, even in 2022, wear scantily clad clothing, cook, stay at home, don't work. You can't be an engineer. You have to be a model. That's a terrible image for women and all girls. And Antoine, you have a daughter, right? Your daughter should be able to be anything, not just what. Even if you're telling her stuff, she's still going out and seeing her friends do this or looking on Instagram or looking on Facebook or watching TV.
Do you think she listens to me? She's 8 and she's already completely over what I'm telling her. So imagine as a teenager.
That's what I'm saying. It's like the parental influence is less and less, and kids are absorbing so much from everywhere. I think that is why people are saying, you know, the way women are portrayed in media, whatever media it is, should be expanded from what it has been in the last, since we've been alive in the last 30 odd years.
I think that's a valid criticism, but I think it falls apart when you consider that it's not just women being sexualized. Look at the newest Thor movie. How often does Thor walk around with no shirt on, right? Yeah. And six-pack abs. And look at, for instance, this is, okay, so if we look at Dead or Alive, the game, which is usually thought of Dead or Alive being the game that's super sexualized, look at this character of Rig, right? This come on. This is an Adonis of a man, right? This is not, you can't see it here. Let's see if we can find a bigger picture of him. This one. If you're worried about girls having body dysmorphia and then your boys are playing games like this and they're like, this is what a man should look like. Why is it going to be dangerous for girls, but it's not dangerous for boys? And this is clearly sexualized as well. If it's an issue, it should be an issue on everybody, not just an issue for girls. You know what I mean? Guys are just as sexualized in games.
So Krian is The Rock, Adam is Jason Momoa, and I am Andre the Giant. Of course not.
Yeah.
But no, like, to your point, I think it's, and I agree, it happens to men, but it's still, the media's primarily dominated by stuff that affects women and young girls.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
definitely
that's
the word.
That's
not
the
paternal,
point. Is men is
patriarchal.
Yeah. So that's the point, is that we're not at an even state. I'd even want to throw in the whole, oh god, I forgot what the English word of this is, but what is that called? Oh my god, it's like representation by color. What is that law called? Employing
action.
People by every, like, you'd have Asians and Black people and Indian people. Yes, just like people always argue about, you should have qualifications and stuff, and how do you get qualifications if you're in a poor Black neighborhood or a poor Indian neighborhood or whatever. And I think it's the same idea, that society is still far too unequal to focus just on boys when it comes to sexualization.
Oh no, I think you're absolutely right. I think that we should have more representation of women in different roles. I think like something like Lara Croft was a bit desexualized, but it was, her sexualization was reduced in the newer versions of the game versus the older versions of the game. She's not as sexualized as she once was. But at the same time, I think the idea is that this idea that people are sexualizing games isn't an issue. But yeah, we do need more representation. I do agree with that. I think basically, for me, it's, let's not try to take away, let's try to add on, let's give more examples. Like we have the, what are they called, Life is Strange, right? You have several female protagonists in there. So I think adding games like that are very helpful and great, and I think that's a great idea. But at the same time, like, people enjoy DOA. I don't think we have to be like, oh, we should completely get rid of this game and make all games. Yeah, I don't think it has to be like, oh, we should make all games like this, because I feel like that's just the same problem. It's just a different, we need more diversity. I agree. Yeah.
And that's why I hate to Twitter generations, because everything has to be controversial. Did you see the comments on Miss Marvel, the new series from the Marvel Universe? I think she's Pakistani or something. She's a teenager. She's a Indian looking. She's a girl superhero. Oh, that's so woke.
Miss Marvel's been a character for a long time.
Oh, for fuck's sake. When I saw that on Twitter, so what's the main criticism of Miss Marvel? Oh, that's woke. Oh, putain. You don't even know what that means at this stage. Come on. That's why I hate Twitter.
I know they
so
changed
much.
Your powers.
Maybe, but I'm not a big fan of comics, so I wouldn't tell you about this. Anyway,
let's move on to Antoine's story.
Oh, it's no, that's
I'm totally very comfortable.
It's gonna fall so flat on that subject. What did I have? Yeah, just to follow on the theme, I saw that in September, Steam is planning a Steam sale based on violent game, the Steam Bash. So you like violence, violent game, violence is your stuff. Wait for September and you have some very good Steam sale. Yeah, that's it. That's basically all I have. I just like the name, the Steam Bash. I'm like, what the hell is that? Yeah, violence orientated. Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen a violence oriented sale.
Yeah, exactly. Must be the first. So no controversy here. Just leave your brain out of the door and bash.
Antoine, are you going to buy anything in the Bash Rush sale? Is there anything you'd want to buy?
I have no clue. I need to see what kind of violent games they have. Mortal Kombat 11? Not even that.
Yeah, here it says, celebrating your favorite hack and slashers, spectacle fighters, and more with discounts.
But what counts as violent? Does Hollow Knight count as violent because you're killing
probably
enemies?
That would be close to a hack and slash, right?
Isn't Hollow Knight a roguelite game? So I don't think, because I know they have a special rogue event on Steam. That's why I don't think it would be included there.
Ah, maybe. We'll see. That could be interesting. By violent, do they mean PG-13 and more, or something like small kids can't play? That'd be fun. That'd be a bold move by them. I'm talking about this. You can see the article on Adam Gray's screen. but do you think I took the time to read it? So I just know there is a sale. I actually don't know at all what's going to be included in
it. It lists the qualifications here. It says RPG elements, third-person gameplay, fast-paced combat, swordplay or shooting, tracked combat combos or visual representation of damage being dealt, character movesets, weapon customization, or score and ranking system.
So. That is wide. That is very wide.
That's not that wide.
Well, you're not going to get your my time at Sandrock.
Oh, yes.
No. Oh,
although
no.
It has RPG elements.
There is RPG element, and you are killing enemies in there.
But there's no representation of damage, though.
Third game. No, it doesn't. I don't think it has to hit all of these. It just has to hit some of them.
What's representation? Go. No, representation of damage. I hit an enemy. The enemy does a tilt, and you see a 25 over his head. I dealt 25 damage. That's representation. Oh,
Yeah, that's right. You're right there.
Okay. It says the sale is specifically for games featuring melee weapons, which means that your more fisticuff-focused beat-em-ups, arena finders may be excluded. It also holds for looter shooters, platform and puzzle-oriented action games, twin-stick shooters, and soul-likes. So games that are violent, that is, but not specifically necessary fashion. So yeah, you won't get your FPSs and you won't get your twin-stick shooters. So no, so my time at Porsche won't count.
Ah, okay. So you may have Doom.
No, Doom does not count. It has to be third person.
In a violent sale, you don't have Doom.
It says that, it says here it's not going to be, it's basically melee combat. So melee combat, third person. So you're For Honor type games. And that's specifically the game they have a picture of right here. So I think.
I didn't even notice.
Is that For Honor or is that?
It is, I think.
It looks like For Honor, but it could also be like maybe Mordhauser.
That is For Honor. You're right.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No, it says Torn Banner Studios.
Yeah, I don't know who does that.
I figured this is Chivalry. It's Chivalry.
Ah, okay.
Chivalry.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't look like the Warden, but okay.
Because Chivalry is third person. For Honor, isn't For Honor first person?
No, it's third. No. Yeah, I don't think there's a, maybe there's a third first person mode, but it's third. It's definitely third. So.
Okay. Cool. Like, we're in almost in August, right? Are you guys looking to pick up anything in a sale this year? Anything on the top of your mind?
Oh, I've got so much stuff to play that if I get anything on a sale, I'm not going to play it this year. I'll tell you that much right now.
Again, sales have no effect on me since I took the Xbox Game Pass at $1 for 3 months. So I'm very depressed about the situation of my soccer club, of my football club right now. So I downloaded the Football Manager 2022.
Who is your football club for people who don't know?
Although in France, it's in terrible situation at the moment, both sportively and financially.
Oh, God.
Actually, let me take that back. If Elden Ring goes on sale, I might pick that up.
Oh, good choice.
Nothing for me, because everything I'd want to get is going to be brand new. Nothing on sale. My Steam wishlist is like 74 games right now. No, but I'd probably pick up, I think on the Switch side, I'd want to get Story of Seasons, one of those games, like Adam and mine's, or my former coworker, probably Adam's former coworker in the future, is she has a Story of Seasons too. So I might borrow that off her, or I might just buy it myself, because I like the whole idea of digital, stacking up that digital catalog. But yep, that's it for me. Story. Okay, my news item is going to be about Samsung monitors. Two things I'll mention is, one of the things, if you guys have been looking for an NVIDIA GeForce graphics card, now is the time to buy one. They're been up to $400, or I shouldn't say $400 off. They are now getting down to MSRP and under as well. So if you're in Taiwan, it's actually cheaper to buy your graphics card from Amazon, ship it to Taiwan, than to actually buy it in Taiwan. And the prices are super affordable. You can get a 30 series, something that does 4K 60, no problem. Like I paid $28,000. So how much would that have been? Like $900 at the time I bought it. If you bought my card right now from Amazon, you'd pay $700. Even less if you find it in the right place. And then that's if you wanted a 3070, but you can get a 3080 for the same price as a 3070. But no, this is about monitors. And again, this is, I got a 4K monitor only stuck at 4K 60. But yeah, I paid $1,000 when I bought this 5 years ago. Now you can get a Samsung cool looking wide 32 inch HDR10, beautiful looking monitor. for really affordable prices. So now is the time to take advantage, which is why I wanted to highlight the story. If you're looking to replace your hardware, replace your graphics card, now's the time to look locally. Like, we have Samsung Taiwan here. Most places have a Samsung store wherever you live, even in freaking Africa as well. So go there. They'll have discounts. They'll have offers. Take advantage of it. Did someone say something?
I just said, because the site got screwed up.
No worries. Yeah, no. So, you know, that's all I wanted to highlight is it's now's the time, because we are heading into uncertain times as far as economic data is coming out this week, inflation and all the sort of stuff. So now is the time you want to lock something in before prices go up and so forth. So that's it from my side.
I should probably pick up a new monitor. Mine's been flickering recently, and this thing is almost 10 years old now, so I should probably get it.
Yeah, and like here in Taiwan as well, Samsung will give you like cash back physically, $1,000 or $2,000 NT cash back that you can deposit into the post office here in Taiwan. And then you get discounts, like if you're a Samsung member or if you have a Samsung phone as well, you get discounts. There's a whole bunch of stuff they'll offer here that you wouldn't get another.
Generous.
Yeah. Because Samsung's coming up with their Galaxy Phone 4 as well. There's a lot of stuff all combined together. If you have a Samsung TV, there's lots of stuff. If you're somewhat in the Samsung ecosystem, you'll find a good deal for a Samsung gaming monitor. And the sort of G series of monitors are the top line of gaming monitors at the moment, between affordability on the low end of the G series and just pure, beautiful awesomeness on the high end.
Do they feel threatened by Sony's new hardware? So they decided to flood the market with their own?
No, I would say they're trying to get rid of old monitor stock, like old LED panels, because everyone's going to OLED or mini LEDs, which is the latest hotness technology. So they're saying, hey, let's get this out of stock, you know. And it's just, again, if you're not making your own panels, and Samsung makes their own panels, that it's hard to compete. All right, Adam, what is your probably last story for today?
PSVR 2 was released, or announced, or rather revealed is the word I'm looking for here. So they finally came out and showed us some of the features that it's going to have. We already saw the controllers before. They are officially called the VR2 Sense. And yeah, it's going to have a few new features. So obviously it's still doing the same VR thing that it was before, but basically they have some new things it can do. For example, they have see-through mode. So I guess on the front of the thing, we can see these little dots here. I guess those are actually cameras. And so what you can do is you can actually make it that in the VR, you can see what's in front of you physically in the real world. And they said, so if you're looking for your controllers and stuff like that, you don't have to take the headset off, pick up the controllers, put the headset back on. You can just do see-through mode, find them, pick them up. Other than that, it has a single cable. The old one had several cables coming out of the back. This one has a single cable. Some people are a little disappointed because they were hoping that it would be cableless or wireless. But unfortunately, if you do that, you're going to have some latency issues with over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. So this will be wired, but this will help delay the latency. So that should be nice. I don't believe they've released the price yet. No, they haven't released the price yet. But we're going to have a resolution of 4,000 by 2040 pixels.
Is that per eye?
It says that's 2,000 by 2,040 per eye. So it's 4,000 across, 2,040 tall. So 2,000 by 240 for each eye. So 4,000.
So that's HD per eye. Nice.
Yep. And it's going to be rumored with a 110 degree field of view.
Oh, so, I think the first version on PS4 was about $400-$500.
Yeah, so it'll probably be around the same price as the PS5. The original one was about the same price as the PS4, so it'll probably be around PS5.
I'm going to disagree with you guys. Like, talking about the hardware right there, that's at least $700-$800 just from the hardware. Because, like, HD lenses, and they're not probably not using LCD. They're definitely not going to use LED. They're probably using OLED or mini LEDs. And those things are expensive because we make mini LEDs here in Taiwan and they are not cheap. The yields out of the factories here are terrible. So they throw away a whole bunch. It's unless Sony put in an order very early with one of the manufacturers in Tainan, north of where Adam and I live, they're unlikely to get an affordable price.
Yeah, they have to be careful because it's getting cheaper on computer. I think you can have a good VR for what, like 500 to 600 now?
But 110 degree FOV is the killer. Like the Facebook Oculus, right, is Oculus Quest 2, or the Meta Quest 2 is the cheapest. Yeah. Right. It was $250 last year in Christmas for anyone who can buy from Amazon in the US. But that is 90 degree FOV, which some people hate. And the downside of that is, of course, with the Meta 2, you have to have a Facebook account, which Facebook said they would fix, but it's still not that. So that's a big thing for a lot of people. A lot of people have like, oh, I'm not buying this because I don't want to sign into it with Facebook. So I think this is a fantastic offer.
Yeah.
4K between two eyes, potentially very good lenses inside. If this had been wireless, I think would have been better because the Wi-Fi technology exists right now. A lot of people could be using, most people, I should say, have mesh in their house, and mesh's latency is pretty low. Everyone now, Wi-Fi 6 is available, which is even better. It's nice.
Yeah, it says okay, HDR OLED display, 125 hertz max refresh rate.
Yeah, oof. I'm so jealous.
It could be pretty expensive.
So it's nice to have the gear, but question is, do they have the game to match?
That is going to be the very big question.
Because I don't think Half-Life Alyx is on PlayStation.
No, and they do have Call of the Mountain is going to come out, so we'll see how that goes.
I think they have a Resident Evil, 7?
Resident Evil 7 should be VR. Resident Evil Village is going to be VR. They're coming out with a VR mode for that, I believe.
So wouldn't they just have to, the old PS VR games would just have to update their textures to be 4K compatible, and then you'd have the whole back catalog for people who'd want to do it.
There aren't too many killer apps, and some of them exactly. have gone off. What was it? Killzone developer Guerrilla Games apparently did Rigs, which was a game for the original PS VR, and they are shutting down the servers, I think, this month.
I thought it was done already.
But yeah, they announced it, and it was like a week or two later, they were going to be shutting down this.
Yeah, so the VR catalog on PlayStation, at the moment, it doesn't worth getting $800 gear. But
yeah, they don't have a...
Let's hope they can have some good stuff, like a good Star Wars Squadrons. Could be fun in VR.
Yeah, I might just use it for the theater mode. Just sit there on the sofa and play games. And my wife's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, in my own world.
Don't talk to me.
Oh, wow. This is the 669 PSVR games.
That's not surprising, but most of them are probably shovelware.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Ed, I wanted to ask you, do you think this is going to be impacted by the lack of availability of the PS5 in some regions? So that they're probably not going to produce a lot of PSVR 2s because not a lot of people can get a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this will be compatible with PC or not, because it uses. I'm pretty sure the cable is USB-C. It might be PC compatible. I don't know.
Yeah,
if they did that, that would be something wonderful.
It's also.
Go ahead, Anton.
The pad, the classic PlayStation pad, is compatible with computers. So.
It is now. Yeah, it's sketchy, but yeah.
Why it's sketchy?
Because Steam fixed it. But even then, like when I was playing Ori. When I was playing Omori, the buttons don't work right. So in Steam in general, it matches, but individual games can still get it wrong. I don't really know. And then also, I was playing Final Fantasy VII First Soldier and playing that on my phone, and I tried to sync it up with my phone, and it was not working very well there, or buttons weren't, connected correctly.
I'm just going to say it once and never say it again, because I used to be a Sony boy. Xbox was really not the thing for me. And since I bought this, a classic Xbox pad to play my some games on computer, I'm sorry, but this is so much better than
the PS4.
Oh, no.
Heresy.
PS4. I never tried the PS5 with haptics and everything, but I do prefer the feeling of this pad compared to the PlayStation. So.
What do you like about it? For it the offset sticks? Or
the positions of the sticks, I think, feels better, and it's a bit more weighty. I like to have the weight on it. It's not like cheap plastic. And
yeah, PS5 is
it. I don't feel space, just a better feeling.
I like my parallel sticks.
I should try, if I can, a PS5 one. Maybe the PS5 is very good.
A little bit heavier, but still pretty light. And they're typically a little bit smaller, but I think the PS... I think they said the PS5 controller is slightly bigger than the PS4 controller, because I know some people complain about the PlayStation controllers being too small.
I thought they were pretty good when Adam gave me a try. I think it was nice. I liked it. It was a bit strange, but I liked it.
But yeah, so for me to say it really break my heart, but you know,
I have to stay objective.
What were we talking about? Oh yeah, VR. So let's hope that Sony VR is compatible with Steam and with Steam VR. Yeah, sure. Why not?
That would be an advantage. All right, gents, anything you want to end off today with, Antoine? Anything you want to talk about for next week? What you're doing gaming-wise? Final thoughts for today?
Nah, sorry. Again, that's the last week of my fiscal year, so I'm not going to play at all. And I think we are doing some kind of interview next week. So if you can actually send me the link of the podcast of the guy so I can do my research before we actually talk to the guy, that'd be great.
Sure.
No, so next week is gonna be very interesting. The app guy.
No, because he never got back for his on his calendar. Yeah.
Oh, shame. I thought he was. I really like the
app. I think he'll be fine. He's probably like something happened, something busy. That's fun. That kind of stuff happens. Just people were all online, remote, one at all. A lot of people are online and remote working. So people get inundated with emails and messages and Snapchats and maybe not Snapchats because their stock is pretty bad. But yes, Adam, what about you?
What am I doing this week? Work. I'll probably play some more games a little bit. So yeah, maybe Final Fantasy 14 just to get some of those tomes.
Cool. And No Man's Sky, right?
Yeah, No Man's Sky on Saturday. Yeah.
Now we're gonna. What are we gonna do? Oh, Adam's gonna finish building his base, and then we're going to go to the space station.
Oh, I finished that. I did that. Needed to do the single player thing, so I figured I'll just go right ahead and catch up to you. So I caught up to you, so we don't have to worry about that. We can go straight to the space.
Yes. Fingers crossed that it's gonna work. And for me, more Hades, hopefully today some, because I didn't get to play a lot yesterday. And then afterwards, I want to try unpacking the game where you just unpack stuff every level.
It's really cool. It's really, really cool and relaxing.
Yeah, yeah. So I bought that full price, actually, when it was not on sale, because I was like, I really want a game. And after Dragon Quest Builders disappointed me with fighting after 45 hours. So, yep, I wanted something with no fighting. So I'm probably going to do that. But maybe I'll finish Hades this weekend. God, we'll see. All right, guys, but that is it. So potentially an interview next week. If there's not an interview, we might do something else. We'll see. We still have to confirm a schedule match for our potential Australian guest. But yeah, so next week won't be me because I will be on holiday in another part of Taiwan. Yes, I will organize the interview for next week. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your week. Keep gaming, relax, keep cool. Remember, it is hot in a lot of part of the world. You want to make sure your hardware does not explode or set fire to your house because the firefighters are pretty busy in a lot of places. So, yes, look after yourselves, and we will see you guys next week.
All right, catch you later.
See ya.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!